Blog Talk Radio.
Witches. My name is Raina Starr. I hope you're doing well post-turkey. I hope you're feeling okay. I hope you are protecting yourselves from the virus as it is still raging and now mutating once again. Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show, so if bad language, bodily function, dirty talk of any kind might offend you, this may not be the show for you. But come on, you know it is. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the amazingly wicked one, the incredible Dorothy Morrison. Please check out www.wickedwitchstudios.com for all of your witching needs. Please also note her blessing balls, her home ornament blessing balls for 2022 are out. Get them while they're available. And you know what your Auntie Raina always says, balls are better in pairs. So get two, one for your back door, one for your front door. Or one for your front door and one for your back window. It's good to have them over the entranceways. Anyway, without further ado, my guest for the hour is the wonderful Marcus Ironwood, publicist for Llewellyn Worldwide. Hey, Marcus!
Hey, Raina. How's it going?
It's good, baby. What's going on? How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was really good. It was really good. Me and my boyfriend went down to my parents and hung out with my brother and his fiance, and it was really nice. We had a really good time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
How was
yours? Mine was great. It wound up being a lot smaller than originally anticipated. We had all kinds of folks invited. And as it turns out, their families decided to do stuff. So one by one, they canceled, but we were prepared for that. So it wound up just being my immediate household, which was great, too. So everything worked out super duper well. But you're not here to just talk about that. You're here to talk about some amazing new releases from Llewellyn, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 'tis the season for, buying gifts and participating in all that. And Llewellyn's got some really great titles coming out for December, and I even want to hint at some January stuff.
Oh, yay! I love Llewellyn. Llewellyn books are amazing. Llewellyn always brings the receipts, the great authors, you name it. You got it. So what's coming up? I know a lot of my favorite authors are getting ready to release new books. So what do you have coming up for December? Yule is rapidly upon us, and I guess it's time with, shipping delays and stuff to kind of maybe think about Yule gifts earlier than normal this year, like right now would be good.
yeah.
What you got coming out? Tell me.
Yeah, the shipping delays are definitely a thing. They're very real, and we've been experiencing them all year. When I have talks with authors, we always end up talking about, okay, your book's supposed to be here middle of the month before the release, and it's probably not. But I let them know. I let them know when it comes in, and so far December hasn't been too bad. We actually have two books already in that are December releases. The first one is Kabbalah for Wiccans by Jack Chanik. He is awesome.
Yep.
He is wonderful.
Yeah.
He's so smart.
He's written a lot of, he's written other things too, has he not? That name is super familiar.
I know that he's got a blog. I haven't seen anything else that he's written, but I know that this is his first one with Llewellyn, and he's got another one coming out next year as well on Tarot. I read the advanced copy of Kabbalah for Wiccans on a plane up to California a couple months ago, and it was really, really well done. I studied the, you know, the kind of Tree of Life and the Sephiroth and some of the philosophy behind it and the history and everything, and this one was really, really well done. He doesn't just go into each one of the spheres and then, okay, this chapter is on Malkuth, the next chapter is on Yasod, the next chapter, you know, it doesn't go, it he pairs them in their, the three kind of the right side of the tree, the left side of the tree, and then the center sphere, and that's how he's presenting the information rather than going, hey, there's this sphere, and then, you know, going through it. He kind of puts it in context of the tree and how it works together. So if you're ever interested in the Kabbalah or in how it is, you know, hermetic in nature or, you know, like how it fits into the whole witchcraft and ceremonial thing, this is a really great book. It's beginner-friendly, and even if you've read a couple books on the Kabbalah, you still would get out of it, you know, stuff out of it. Like, I've read a few books already on the Sephiroth and the Tree of Life before this, and I was like, this is good. This is good.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Whenever you have more than one person writing about the same subject matter, it's not necessarily going to be the same book, because I think everyone brings their own perspective. And yeah, and I think it's good if you're interested in a subject. I don't know anybody who's like ever, it's kind of like music. So like, you have this song you like by this band, that's not the only album you ever buy, because you know you like this band. So you may buy more of that style of music by different people, or more of, you know, more albums by the same musician. So it's kind of the same thing in books. You know, it's never a one and done situation. So I love the fact that it's for beginners too. That's very helpful as well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm sure I'll be talking about more Tree of Life and Kabbalah related titles in this next year. There's one coming up this summer that should be also a really great take on the Tree of Life, presented again in a pretty unique form. So be on the lookout for that one next summer.
Cool. Okay, we're being a little cagey, but all right, I'll take it. What else you got?
I'm not quite ready, but yeah, we'll get
there.
You're not
quite ready.
When I have the meeting with the author.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay. Cool. So what else do you have coming in December?
So we also have Blast from the Past by Shelley Keir. This one's about past lives and kind of having spontaneous past life experiences going through either. I haven't read too much into this one. This is a little bit more Kat's title. But yeah, if you're interested in past lives and or have had like an experience, whether it's a dream or walking out in your day-to-day life and going and having this experience, like, well, this seems really, really personal, but there's no way that this could be related to me at all. Maybe it's a past life thing. Shelley Keir really does a good job of kind of talking about you know, past lives and how they kind of integrate into our current lives and how to examine that from a like more of a psychological therapy perspective.
Do you have any past life recollections?
I don't. I don't do a whole lot with past lives. I'm pretty busy with this one. That's kind of my take on past lives. Like, personally, I'm just like, look, I got this one here. Whatever happened in past life, I don't care. Like, I got things going on here. I got parents. I got friends. I got, you know, partner. I got a job. I got a body. Like, let's go.
There's shit to do right here, right now. But for folks like me who have had past life experiences, this sounds like a really interesting topic because, you know, I'm very interested in shared past life experiences because I have two people in my life that we remember the same shit and have been able to describe the same place where we were and the same thing that happened. It's a very interesting thing when you have somebody who says, hey, do you remember when we were at the Paris Opera House? And I'm like, yeah. And then you take three beats and you're like, you start describing what you saw, and the other person is like, yeah, do you remember this room? And I'm like, yeah. And then you realize, wait a second, I've never been to Paris in this life. What? And
right.
The two people have, yeah, I mean, so I feel like, and I know this is a topic that's interesting to some folks, you know, it's interesting
sure.
when you find somebody that you have in your life, you know, because you feel like you've been around this whole thing a number of times, when you actually find a person, or in my case, I'm lucky enough to have two people that I have shared past lives with, it's really interesting, seriously interesting. So I'm interested in that title. That sounds like really great subject matter. And Shelley has been doing books on this topic in varying from varying perspectives for quite some time. So if you're interested in past life information, she's definitely one of the great authors for that. So what else are we looking at coming up, my friend?
Yeah. So then we've also got, what am I thinking of? Losing my mind. It's Sunday morning. I think I need to go grab my coffee. That's what I need.
Go ahead, grab the coffee. Nothing wrong with the coffee. I've already had six cups.
Right.
I've been up for 4 hours. I have had several cups of coffee at this point. I'm on
rocket
fuel, baby. Yeah.
Hey, that's how we do.
I know.
Yeah, I'm on cup number two. I've already made pancakes. Like we had a good Sunday
Ooh.
Breakfast, pancakes and bacon.
Nice. I'm coming over. Oh wait, you're not around the corner.
For sure.
Excellent. But I would be there if you were.
Right. You're more than welcome.
You know, there's a lot of great new titles coming out in the new year from some of our author favorites. I know Storm Fairy Wolf is releasing a couple of books coming up.
Yes.
Isn't he?
He's wonderful. I had a meeting with him about his two books coming up this next year, maybe a month ago at this point. But he is wonderful. We had a great conversation. I came up with some really good ideas. We're both kind of brainstorming. We got some little promotional bookmarks in the works. So if you do buy from Datura Trading Company, I think that's what the new name of the shop is.
Datura Trading Company, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, we got some bookmarks coming out, just little promotional things for The Witch's Name. Those should be out to him in the next few weeks. We're getting them printed right now. So,
that's
be really cute. Yeah, fun little promotion, you know, and then you can write your name on the bookmark, and it's really cute, so that'll be really fun. And then I am super excited for The Satyr's Kiss coming out in, I believe it's May, it's either May or June. That one I'm all over. I read it, actually I read an interview with Storm, I think 2 years ago. Roughly 2 years ago, maybe more than that, where he had like been talking about this gay grimoire and homosexual magic, and I'm just like, I need this book, I need this book, I need this book. And from the point of reading that article to where I am now being the publicist for the book, I am over the moon. I'm just over the moon.
I mean, seriously, how many folks in community have been waiting for something that is specifically male-driven? I love. So, you know, as a bisexual person, I'm like, hello, yay, awesome. So anything that serves the community is great. And I love seeing that this book has finally been put into the works. That's pretty awesome. And a subject whose time has come already for a long time. So I'm really happy about that. Because I don't see a lot of authors, you know, writing from that perspective. So is this something that you're seeing more of now, or is this like really cutting edge?
I think it's definitely on the edge, especially for a big publisher. You know, in our field, you know, Llewellyn is probably, you know, the number one. I'm just going to say it. We're number one. Non-sponsored.
Say it, baby.
I'm not on the clock. Non-sponsored. But yeah, no, it's I've definitely seen a few books self-published or in more kind of like zine or, you know, those very kind of underground kind of publications that talk about like homosexual sex magic or even, you know, queer magic or gay magic. Yeah, obviously there's several titles from big publishers out right now that kind of encompass the queer identity and talk about magic or various. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm so glad to be living in a time where I'm an adult and can see my community reflected in my spiritual practice. Like, never before has this really happened at this level, you know? Obviously, the stuff that we're talking about is super old, but from this perspective, with these voices kind of living out in the sun, you know, and not having to, like, code things, it's pretty wonderful. But yeah, I've seen some kind of handwritten, self-published titles. Casey Giovinco, who did Magic from the Mat, he did some self-published stuff on gay magic. But in terms of big name publishers, this is kind of that cutting edge that I would love to see more.
I would too. And there's obviously a demand, a big demand for it. And I think it's wonderful. I mean, if we're really wanting witchcraft to be representational of its practitioners, it's a necessity. And all the gatekeeping and naysaying, you know, obviously cannot stop the demand of publications by, you know, queer and gay people from their perspective. I think it's brilliant. I think, sure, it's an old topic, but to be recognized by, you know, a large publishing house is very important. So I'm really glad that Llewellyn has taken that step and is, you know, pushing these writers forward and this writing forward. It can only help. I mean, you know, I have a lot of problems with people saying, oh, the old ways and we this and we that. You know what? That's how things die. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Witchcraft and practices must be not just allowed to grow and change, but sometimes forced. Because if you cut off that lifeline and you try to keep things the way they were, there is no such thing as growth in that manner. And you are basically signaling our demise. I am very upset about the level of older folks. And I'm an older folk. I can say this shit. I just turned 60, man. No, but it pisses me off. It's like, how are you expecting, you know, we have this saying, what is remembered lives, which means when we pass on, if we are remembered, we maintain our relevance. We maintain life for new generations. And you cannot expect that to happen if you are trying to strangle the growth. The growth means more. The growth means advancement. The growth means more voices. I mean, there's no other way for the craft to propel forward if it is not being carried by all of these amazing younger folks. And I'm talking about 40, 45, 30, 20, 25, folks who are young. Let the young people step up. And as I've said many times, the things that older folks bitch about, oh, they're doing it like this and they're doing it like that. Again, if those ways don't work, they will fall by the wayside and the younger folks will do other things that will work. But nothing we did in the beginning was so pristine and on target to begin with. We all had, you know, the only difference was we weren't doing it in front of the entire world. I would not want you to have met me when I was 16 and first really badgering, literally badgering my later mentor into initiating me. I'm like, I really want this. I really want this. But I had to prove that I wanted it. I had to, you know, in certain traditions, you have to prove that you are serious and worthy. And I had no problem with that because that's how it was back then. But the fact of the matter is, with all these new voices and these other ways to do things, it's all valid. It may not all last, but attempting anything is valid. If your heart is behind it and your intention is behind it and you mean it for the good, what the fuck is the problem? I think people just need to get over themselves and their traditions. Because I come from a very, listen, I was trained gardnerian. People find that to be very hardcore. And a lot of folks, you get a lot of flack for saying you're Wiccan or gardnerian. But you know what? I am trying to raise the vibration here on the old ways. And by saying, listen, we didn't have it all right. We didn't. There was a lot of shit in the old ways that was misogynistic and turfy and shitty, even before we knew what turfy was and even before we knew how shitty it was. But, you know, I mean, I love the fact that there are, you know, queer people who identify as gardnerian and gay people who identify as gardnerian, because they're raising the vibration and they're making the adjustments and they're fixing it so that it is more inclusive. I'm just saying, this is a beautiful thing. This is not something to be mad at. This is not something to shun or be judgmental about. So more power to the folks coming up, because quite frankly, we don't stay alive except through you guys. You're the reason we may or may not be remembered. Our destiny is in your hands, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'm not going to be here forever, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. So keep on. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I mean, even from when I started, like, you know, 15 some years ago, like, things are way different. It's so much easier to get the information that you're looking for. Like, when I started back in the late 90s, there was a handful of books in your Barnes & Noble. Yeah. You know, there was some GeoCities websites. You know, it's like, okay, but, you know, where does all this come from? Now you can go on to the Internet or your local store, and you can ask, and people will give you 16 different options. You know, they'll give you the book, Gardner's book, or they'll give you Cunningham's book, or they'll give you Thorne Mooney's book and say, okay, here's Wicca.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're not kind of grooving with some of these, let's go over and look at, you know, Storm's book or T. Thorne Coyle's book or Deborah Blake on, you know, eclectic stuff. Like, you can go and dance and explore in so many different directions these days. It's really wonderful.
Oh, speaking of which, and you brought up some really great authors, but I have to just shine a little bit of a light selfishly on on Heron Michelle's new book. Michelle's new book, oh my goddess, please get this book. It's beautiful, it's big, it is the one that I feel like is the modern day Buckland's Blue. I don't have the book in front of me. What was the name of the book? Do you have it in front of you by any chance?
I don't have it in front of me, but I've worked with it for several months at this point. It's called Elemental Witchcraft by Hira Michelle. She's out of, this is where I wish I had the book. I believe
Greensboro,
she's in Alabama.
I think.
Greensboro,
North Carolina, where she has a shop as well. Yes, in North Carolina, the Sojourner. She's got an amazing shop, which I have not yet been to, but I've seen pictures and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get over there. But all of North Carolina is not in one place. So, but I do need to take a trek in that direction and get to that store. Or is it Greenville? Did I totally screw that up? Wait a second. Let me go get the real information before I sit here and lie to people.
I think it's Greensboro. That does sound right. But yeah, I know that they're doing a bunch of publicity and publication.
No, it's Greenville.
Greenville?
It's Greenville. Yeah, it's Greenville, North Carolina. Yeah, which is not the same thing as Greensboro. I know, and I apologize, because everything in North Carolina is a green something.
Right.
But it's good. But this book,
right.
Elemental Witchcraft, a Guide to Living a Magical Life Through the Elements, it's the Pentacle Path. It is Heron Michelle's path. It is a beautiful, beautiful book. It is, to me, like I said, the modern Big Blue. I'm so excited. And Heron is coming on to the show, which I'm also way excited about, in the very near future. So, yeah.
She's wonderful. I've really enjoyed working with her. She's super nice,
yes.
Really on top of her stuff. Like, obviously, she runs a shop. You have to, if you're going to be a business owner, a successful business owner, which she is, you really have to be on top of it. They're doing, like, candles and stickers that you can put on your seven-day votives. And I think they're putting together some, like, journals that are kind of mentioned in the book. So if you're interested in this topic, like you're saying, it's kind of the new Big Blue. I think it's also kind of in line with the Temple of Witchcraft from Penzac. She's a student of his, so it very much takes a lot of those really grounded, earthy practices and also the ritual, ceremonial practices, and I think does a really awesome job of explaining what these things are and leading a person through them and giving them a really solid foundation in witchcraft.
It's a roadmap. It's absolutely, it's a roadmap. It's a tour guide. It's everything. This is probably one of the most complete books I have read in many years, where it is start to finish. Not finish, but it's extensive. And the information, I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of information. So I'm really excited.
Dense.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a big one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm excited to see the final copies come out in the next week.
Oh, me too. I can't wait to get one. I'm super duper duper excited. It's actually, and shameless self plug, only because I did do one of the blurbs that's in the book, and it's really the first one.
Neat.
It's the first one that's ever been published, because I don't really like doing them. I get asked to do them, but I really, it's not something that is my favorite thing to do. So if I have done it, I did it for a reason. This book it just blew me away. So I'm really excited to see how much other folks love it too. How to do that. Love Heron Michelle. So what else do we have coming out, my friend?
So in the similar vein of Elemental Witchcraft, we have Elemental Magic for Witches by Father Barbaros. So shifting a little bit more even into that ceremonial magic, looking at both all four of the elements, earth, air, fire, water, but then the combinations of them. So earth of earth, earth of water, earth of air, earth of fire, and going and how like those elements, how you can find the other elements in a bigger element and how to work with them in a ceremonial context. However, the book is written for witches, so it's not this high grandmaster ceremony. You have to know all the Kabbalic texts and know the Tree of Life up and down. It's not all that.
Right.
Father Barbaros presents this information in a really grounded, easy-to-use kind of way. He's awesome. So this one's going to be really good. It is a follow-up to his Spirit Conjuration for Witches. Again, that kind of, grimoire, spirit conjuring, taking it kind of out of that high ceremonial context and giving, everyone, a practical application to this kind of work and this kind of magic. So I really like his work. He really breaks down some of these really technical or these technical processes, these old grimoires that are, we have to translate from old French or Latin or whatever. I think Father Barbaros does a really great job. That man can talk about grimoires for hours. So if you're in the, I think he's in Northern Virginia. If you're in that area, we're trying to get him into a few stores to do some talks about this new book. So if you're interested in kind of dipping your toes into a little bit of that ceremonial magic, this is going to be a great book, especially if you are familiar with the elements or you are familiar with some of those concepts of the Thoth Tarot where, you know, the princesses are earth and the queens are water and the kings are air. Kind of, and then, you know, so the Queen of Cups is water of water and the Princess of Discs is or air of earth. So kind of like looking at those concepts a little bit more deeply and how to work with them in a really practical way. It's going to be a good book. I'm excited for this one.
That sounds amazing, and I love that. And I'm first becoming familiar with that author. I was not. I mean, it's we don't all know each other.
Right.
there's a misconception that all witches are either related or know each other. We don't. So it's nice when you get to expand the circle a little further, which is something that I have loved over the past number of years, how much the community has grown and that more voices are getting in there. I know I keep saying that, but it's really so important.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. He actually used to live here in Minnesota. So I've seen him a few times when I was working at Magus. We did a book signing for his first book through Llewellyn. So that was fun. Just a really nice guy.
Yeah. It's good to have nice people. Sometimes we happen upon folks who are not so great, but that's rare. So, you know, I mean, for the most part, we all do try to be decent people. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. I think people still have a misconception about witches as far as, you know, who we are and what we believe and, you know, our evil plot, which we don't have, which I find hilarious. But what else have we got coming? What else is going on?
So the other ones in December are Paganism for Prisoners, which is a really, really, I think, important and unique book. It's written by Awen Dawn. She discovered paganism in her time in prison and discovered or was able to really grow and change and learn through having that pagan perspective. I think this book is really good for a number of reasons. It obviously draws attention to the criminal justice system and the prison system and how to get books into prisons and how to have people who are incarcerated have access to their religious practices and community. So there's obviously that angle, which is super important. But then also, if you aren't a prisoner, if you aren't incarcerated, this book really kind of shows, like, how do you have a pagan practice when you have so limited resources and you are kind of kept from a lot of things? So anyone who's feeling like, well, I can't have this big grand altar room or, you know, I can't afford these crystals or, you know, like, oh, I can't. Well, picking up this book will really obviously highlight a very important part of society, but then also your own takeaways from it can be like, well, what am I experiencing of the divine in this moment? What is nature around me at this moment? How can I create a practice when I don't feel like I have access to everything that I need? So I think it's a really, really important book for several reasons. And not just obviously for, you know, as the title implies, for prisoners or the incarcerated. So it's a good book. It's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's a good book for people who, like you said, have limited resources. I would dare say that some of the points in the book would be about limited space, limited access, like you said, but also in a time where people will not understand what your practice is, especially I can't even imagine how hard it must be, not just to be incarcerated, but to be a pagan incarcerated when you know people are going to have judgments about what you believe, you know, it already, for a lot of folks, paganism already has a negative connotation. I couldn't imagine having to try to maintain a practice under circumstances where it feels like it's, I'm sure everybody's against you in a real sense. So that must be one hell of a book. Very interesting subject matter, I would say. I do know some folks who do pagan, you know, some prison outreach that are pagans. There are a number of folks that I'm aware of who actually do this, which it's, wow, that's a job of the gods, I'm telling you. That and teaching.
Right.
Oof. Yeah, you know, so I give much love and respect to folks who take care of the folks that are often forgotten. So blessings on you. So what else do we have coming up?
So we've got those four, and there is a fifth one that I am responsible for, and because it's not crossing my mind at this point, and I feel like I'm not very good at my job.
You are.
We got the Hero Michelle, we got the Father Barbaros, we got Jack Canick, and we've got Owen Don, and there's a fifth one that I know I've been working on. Oh, no. That is...
It'll come to me. It'll come to you. It will. I mean, are we already talking about January, or are we talking about later in the year? What else have we got?
These are all December titles. These are all December titles. And then in January, we've got, or at least my responsibilities are for four really incredible books, although five technically. we've got The Witch's Sabbath by Keldon, another fantastic book from Keldon. If you read his first book, The Crooked Path, this just, it takes it one more step. His level of research is so good. So in depth, so well done. It's all about like the Witch's Sabbath, you know, where we gather, how in a historical context. Much of what he was writing, or what he wrote, comes from, you know, the trial documents. So it's kind of it's a really interesting space to examine. But he doesn't just go, well, here's the history. He breaks it down, and he makes it a little bit more practical, and obviously gives, like, journal prompts and exercises. Keldon is wonderful. He's an absolute sweetheart. I love any time I'm able to get hang out with him. He lives pretty close to the city, so I see him several times a year. It always makes my day when I'm able to hang out with him.
Yeah, he's great. I've had him on. He's due to come on for the new book. I'm very excited about it. And talk about one of the nicest people ever. I mean, he's just a doll. He really is. He's so sweet, and he's so generous with his time. He's just incredible. So what else have we got coming?
We got Witches, Heretics, and Warrior Women by Phoenix Buffay.
Yep,
that one's coming out in January. That one's going to be really good. That one's going to be really fun, especially, you know, a little bit earlier we were talking about kind of like more male mysteries. This one's really wonderful for women and, women's empowerment and seeing really strong feminine figures in history. Obviously, every woman in that book isn't a witch. Some consider themselves witches or magical workers. Others were strong, powerful warriors or women who spoke up against patriarchy or, you know, spoke up for the oppressed people. And, really, really well done, really fun. And obviously Phoenix LaFay's tone and voice is really engaging and entertaining. You know, she's not talking down to to the audience. She has a really personal, conversational style. So if you're looking for fun read that feels like you're talking to a friend and talking about really important, really exciting, empowering topics, this is definitely one to pick up. I think it'd make a great gift for anyone who's interested in that. So if you have friends who are like really into feminine power or history about women, this is absolutely a great birthday gift or Christmas Yule gift.
Yeah, I actually adore her. I'm also a great fan of her husband, Green Raven. They
mm-hmm.
own Milk and Honey in California. It's a great shop. So if you get a chance, if you're in that area, look them up. They're wonderful folks. Phoenix is one of my favorite humans, period, hands down. Adore her. She is funny and engaging as much as she is in her books, just as much to talk to. She is, she's great. I just love her. We've had some interesting conversations about women's physical issues. She's just fantastic. And I'm looking forward to my chat with her about the book. So yeah, she's also going to be a guest, as most of these authors are. Check your local listings for Desperate Housewives. But anyway,
right.
Shameless plug, but it's shameless because it's my show. Anyway, so what else have we got coming? Who else is sending us something amazing to read?
If you're into tarot, we've got Tarot Rituals by Nancy Antonucci. So this isn't just your standard 101 tarot, learn what the high priestess means, learn what the, you know, this is obviously know your meanings of the cards, but then using tarot in your ceremonies and rituals and hand fastings and seasonal celebrations. So it's a way of incorporating tarot into pretty much any celebration or ritual that you can think of. So this is a really fun addition for any tarot lover, anyone who's, you know, a reader or interested in tarot or is a deck collector that might be like, oh, well, how can I use this outside of doing readings? It really kind of breaks the mold of your traditional tarot book a little bit. So it's a fun read. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, what else is coming? What else you got?
And then we've got, in a similar vein as witches, heretics, and warrior women, we've got Warrior Magic by Thomas Prower. That's coming out in January. It's another one of his fantastic collections of magical practices from all over the world. Obviously, Thomas does his research. So good. This one's about warrior and battle magic. But it doesn't just focus on military efforts. There are aspects of it that do have that kind of physical fighting topic in the book. But it also talks about activism. A battle isn't just on the war field, but also in speaking up and fighting against colonization and fighting against oppression. It's really, really well done. He has, I believe, over 20 contributors to the book talking
wow.
about, you know, indigenous sovereignty or various military and spirit religious integration, and not like a holy war kind of way, but like Norse people in the military and those kind of things. And I am actually in the book.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He
Very
reached out
cool.
to me and said, hey, I know that you have a background in activism. Do you want to write a piece for an upcoming book? And I was like, yes. So, yeah, I have a piece that I wrote about my time in undergrad working in doing my education in women's studies and activism, and at the same time working with some family issues and my brother going into the military and having some really, really hard feelings with that, because on one hand I'm studying these how the American industrial complex is not exactly like really healthy for women and the world in
sure.
a lot of ways, and then having a family member choose that path. that was really difficult for me. And my spirituality came into it when studying the mythology of Inanna and Eresh Kigal and how having empathy for someone who is not in a position you are in is so important. And so that story, that myth of those two really, really helped me get through and work with and continue to. Ultimately, my brother didn't go down that path, but it was really important in a really pivotal moment in our relationship for us to kind of work through that and for me to do that internal work. So, yeah, that's one example of, I don't know,
headphones.
That's amazing. No, I'm really – see, Thomas Prower is an amazing writer, and if anyone is curious, he did the Llewellyn Con, which I believe we still all have access to on YouTube. Check it out. He's engaging. He is a powerful speaker. I really – and I kind of have a little crush from when I got to see him on the last Llewellyn Con. I thought he was just absolutely amazing. And so that's super exciting that he's got something new coming out. And he tends to be one of these writers that he just pulls you in. And when he speaks, it's the same thing. You know, any of his live talks are just incredible. So I'm looking forward to that because he's also coming on the show. So he's just wonderful times a thousand. What else you got in the works, my friend?
So we've got that one. We've got Phoenix's book. We've got Nancy's book. We've got one by Deborah D'Angelo called Pagan Curious. This is a really, really great introductory book for anyone who has, like, you know, been interested on a pagan path or a natural magic or earth-focused spirituality. This isn't necessarily your 101, you know, Buckland's Big Blue. It's not that. It's a little bit more who's who in the zoo. You know, what are these, you know, what is Gardnerianism? How did it affect later traditions? You know, what are the tools of witchcraft? Like, where did those come from? In a really gentle way. It doesn't say, all right, here's the SMA. Hold it in this space and cast the circle. It's like, okay, well, what are we doing in there? What, you know, how can you dip your toes into this pool rather than say, here's a book on witchcraft. You're a witch now. It's like, maybe you're not there yet. Maybe people aren't interested in what paganism is. You know, where did it come from? Who are the people in this community? You know, what are some of the practices? What are some of the festivals that you'll see? It's a really, really great introductory book. I'm really happy to see something like this come out in the market, especially in a time where witchcraft and earth-centered practices are so, they're kind of in the zeitgeist right now. You know, witchcraft is really big right now.
Which is hilarious to me as somebody who, when I was first coming up, we didn't say it out loud. We certainly as fuck didn't say it in public. I mean, witchcraft, being a witch was something that, you know, you kept that shit hidden because you were scared of judgment. We did not have a voice back in the day. And the fact that we have one now is like, to me, that was the whole point. It was like we were fighting for acceptance. And now people want to fucking fight over the fact that there's acceptance. It's like, really? Can we not remember the shit we went through? And I'm talking to the people my age. Remember the first time you actually said the word witch out loud to someone that you knew was not a fucking witch? Do you remember the level of emotional judgment you went through? I'm just saying. No, these are – I'm telling you, you have to understand – There's a sector of witches in the world that are resentful of the fact that information is free flowing. They are resentful of the fact that to some folks it seems like a fad and the fashion, and you know, it's just about the aesthetic. No, dude, we were looked at the same way. Hello, I'm just telling you. It's good. It's fine. Leave people alone. Let them discover witchcraft how they discover it. Listen, The Craft was a big movie after time. After my time. But some of the most serious fucking witches I know were influenced or turned to their love of witchcraft because of that movie, because it hit them at the right time in their lives, you know, because that's what was out there. That was the thing at the moment, and they've grown in it. I mean, you just need the spark. Once the spark happens and you start reading and becoming invested in this practice as your spiritual life, that changes everything for you. When you discover the thing that brings you peace, when you discover the thing that you feel accepted in, because I will tell you, religion, having a family that started off pagan and then turned Christian, fundamentalist Christian on top of it, Pentecostal, you know, if
that's
where you go to find, it is a lot, but if that's where you need to go to find peace, to find your acceptance, to find your reality, why is that a problem, no matter how you came to it? You know, some people turn Christian after seeing Jesus Christ Superstar. Great play, by the way. Excellent musical. But the fact of the matter is, if that's the thing that sparks, so I get pissed off when people are like, well, they're just, you know, witches because of The Craft. Well, what the fuck started you? I mean, it took something that sparked your imagination, that sparked a chord within you that said, I resonate with this. That's how anybody comes to whatever path they belong to or feel that they're accepted by. That's the whole fucking point. It's about knowing that there's something beyond you and becoming one with whatever that is. And I think that's a beautiful thing. No matter how you get there, that's how you got there. So what's the problem? I think people just need to leave people alone. I just do. Like, okay, it's not for you. Everything on this earth is not for you, okay?
Exactly.
Adults drink. Children don't drink. There's a reason for that. Some things are for kids and some things are for adults. Grow up. Leave it alone. Just let people be. I get so annoyed. This is why I have a reputation for being such a bitch, because I just want people to leave each other alone and do your own thing and be happy with it. And if you're not happy, find another thing to do. Shit, it's not that difficult. You have all the options.
Right.
I mean, you know, the world is so much bigger now. And does social media play a really destructive part in that? Yeah, but it also plays a really good part in it, too, like anything else in life.
Oh, yeah.
There are good things.
I mean, I wouldn't be where I'm today I'm at today without, like, a lot of social media interaction and podcasts. Like, that was really where I started learning a lot, was interviews with people, like, you know, just like this. And, you know, Teether and Coyle's podcast back in the day was really, really wonderful. They talked about really deep topics in magic and, you know, things that they were doing and working in the community. And, you know, I'm sure some of those people I wouldn't, like, agree with on everything, but that's how you learn. You learn from people. and that's how we're learning these days, is through, you know, books and podcasts and social media and conferences. There's a million ways to do things these days. It's not just, you know, running into someone at a Ren Fair, which I've heard happened, or at, you know, a bookshop or a coffee shop. Like, there's a million ways that people come to this path now, and all are valid. All are really valid.
They
ways.
Are. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that. Because only through information do we propel what we know forward. You can't sit on information and expect people to just divine it out of the ethers. You got to share what you know. And you got to do it with an open heart. Otherwise, you're really not sharing the information. It's not supposed to be this horrible burden. It's not supposed to. Practices are meant to grow and change. They really are. They really
mm-hmm.
are. If you cut off the life source to anything, it will wither away. And that's the whole thing. You know, it's like we're here to bring more information, lots more, because as much information as we have now, there's a shit ton more coming. Just
oh,
be
yeah.
prepared. You know, I know very little about the Kabbalah, but only through meeting people, only through books, only through things like Llewellyn Con, where you get to hear these authors speak about their books. These are things that we didn't have. And, you know, I hate to say this, but because of the pandemic, we had to find creative ways to find new voices and hear new voices and to hear old voices. And quite frankly, the Llewellyn Cons, I hope even if this pandemic thing ever does really die down, I hope Llewellyn plans to continue the Llewellyn Cons annually, because it's 9 days of pure magic, back-to-back speakers. It's probably one of my most favorite things that helped me get through the first year of the pandemic for sure. And, you know, this year as well was awesome. So I'm so into it. Are there plans to continue it?
As far as I'm aware, there are. You know, I don't see that going anywhere. You know, the numbers from it were so good, and people such as yourself really, really enjoyed it. The authors really enjoyed it. So I can't imagine that that's going anywhere. We haven't explicitly discussed a date or time, but I would be shocked if that wasn't happen if that wasn't going to happen in 2022. So definitely be on the lookout for that. We have virtual author forums every other month, which is kind of like, you know, a little mini Llewellyn Con. We'll have a topic, and then three or four authors will come on to talk about their experiences and, you know, their work and everything. So yeah, there's all sorts of really awesome free content
free.
From Llewellyn. Free.
Seriously,
so,
Llewellyn
you know.
Con was free. These talks are free. There's no excuse not to listen in and learn
right.
some stuff. Free is a rare number and one of my favorites, I just gotta say. So yeah, that's
right.
fantastic. And it's great that Llewellyn does this. I wish more publishing houses would get on board with it. But it's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. I have talked your ear off. We are just about out of time. Is there anybody else you want to mention while we're here?
I think that's all I've got for today. Obviously, check out Llewellyn.com. Check out our Instagram. We're always featuring our upcoming releases on there. Check out our Facebook page. We've got the virtual author forums. You know, every author that we've mentioned today and even the ones that we haven't are really fantastic. I highly recommend each and every one of them. I really enjoy working with them. Like, this job has literally been, like, one of the most amazing things that's happened to me in 10 years. I feel really blessed and privileged to be able to work with these authors and publicize and promote their material. So check out Llewellyn.com. Listen to Desperate House Switches. You have practically every one of our authors on. It's really wonderful. Like, you're a superstar. I want to say thank you for having me on this past hour. So you're wonderful.
Well, you are too. And look for Marcus to be back on in the spring. We're going to do this quarterly. And I really appreciate that you rolled out of bed to do this with me. And I adore you. And I think Llewellyn does a really great job of hiring great people. So I'm so glad to have you in my life. You are a total blessing. And I adore you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for always being, you always go the extra mile. You're always there to help out, and it's been fantastic working with you. I love working with you. So I'm going to let you go now and enjoy your early morning, and we will talk to you again in a couple of months. It's not that far off.
Perfect. If you want to follow
okay.
me, if you're a listener and you want to follow me, my Instagram is just at Marcus Ireland. That's Marcus with a K. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
I post books, I post pictures of my gym progress, so if anyone's interested in that. Shameless plug for more followers.
Why not? Why not? That's what we're here for. Get more information, more follows, more people. Always better. Make the circle wider. All right, my love.
Perfect.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. You have a great day.
Too. All right, everybody. That is it for today. I will be back on Thursday with the 4:15. I will be back on Friday with Politics Friday, first Friday of the month. On Saturday is the amazing Sasha Graham. We're going to talk about the magic of tarot. So tune in, check your local listings. Have a wonderful week, y'all. Talk to you soon. Bye.